All right. Hey, where did you go? Where was the interview? So you're in Huntsville today. Holy moly, man. Way to go. Well, I think you got the job just for doing that. That's good. All right, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. One verse here about the Word of God. Kind of like what you were saying, Mike. The Word of God. You guys talking about the Word of God, and that's what this verse is about. And we'll read it, we'll pray, and talk to you about the work of the words of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's pray, and we're going to talk about these words of God. Father, thank you so much for your words, and thank you for everybody that's here tonight. And I do pray that you guide Mike and Cynthia and open doors, close doors, however you see fit, and or that you'd put them in the position you want them to be in. It wouldn't take away from anything that you'd have him to do as far as service for you, but that you would make him fruitful where he is. And I do pray for those folks that have been affected by the hurricane, and then got another one coming right behind it, headed to Florida. And Lord, I pray for the folks that have already lost their homes, and then some lost their jobs, and I pray that we could be a help if we go out, as we go out Saturday, and then possibly next week, go up to Bay Cliff. And Lord, I just pray it would be a blessing. I do pray for Brother Hinton. Thank you that they got here safely this afternoon, and I have got a place to stay, and now they can keep up with their church, and he can kind of oversee what he needs to oversee from here. And I pray you'd get him into a place, to live quickly, and get them up and rolling quickly. And I do pray tonight, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, help me say what you once said. And I do pray for Cynthia and the kids over in the fellowship hall, that as they prepare for another acting out a portion of scripture, pray that you'd get them prepared for that and help them learn the Bible that way. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the words of God here, you know, this comes in the context of Paul talking about unbelief, and so now he's going to give you a credentials of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And I'm like Mike was saying, you know, I am so thankful to have a Bible. And I couldn't imagine, and I probably some of you guys are the same way, I couldn't imagine life without a Bible. I couldn't imagine life without having something I could read and just believe. I don't have to consider whether this is true. It's not like something that came on Fox News or something that came on CNN or whatever, and you got to try to figure out what is this is propaganda, and what of this is a commercial, and what of this is just completely lies. I got the Word of God. I can trust it, and I have trusted it, and everywhere I've trusted it in my life, it's made a difference for the better. And everywhere I haven't trusted it, it's made a difference for the worse. And so Paul gives some credentials, the effectiveness of the Word of God. And so he says this, and let's just look at these things in this verse here. The first thing that he talks about is the life-giving voice of God. You could make an analogy here. We'll show you the verse. He says, "For the Word of God is quick." All right, quick. Whenever he says quick, that doesn't mean it's fast or speedy. That's quick as in living. If you ever cut your fingernails back to the quick and it hurts because you've cut down to the living part, and that's why it hurts. It's the quick. And so in the Bible, the word quick, and it's even used nowadays, not an old word or anything. We use the word for things like that, quick of your nails and things like that. But quick means alive. It just means alive. And God's voice is a life-giving voice. The Bible says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus Christ said, they are spirit and they are life. You could probably make an analogy that in some cases, with all the hurricane stuff, it's easy to find some illustrations about this, where people's voices have been a lifeline to other people. You know, a voice goes out and gives some direction, and it's a lifeline to people. Well, God's voice is always a lifeline. It is life. His words are life. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick. That means living. So I want to give you a couple illustrations about the living word of God. In the Bible, the word of God is like a seed. You think of a seed as life. In that little seed, you have instructions that tell, once they're nourished and once they're fed, they have the instructions for life in that seed. And you have the instructions for a tree in just a little seed. You have all the instructions needed to create a tree in a little seed. And there's a parable that Jesus Christ says in Luke chapter 8. He says that the seed is the word of God. First of all, you think about the word of God as life like a seed. Now, here's an illustration of that. That seed contains a DNA code. It contains genetic information to reproduce a tree. This Bible contains the, for lack of a better term, genetic code to create a child of God. And then it tells you what a child of God looks like and how a child of God acts and how a child of God behaves and all that kind of thing. What I'm saying is it's just like a seed, and he likens the word of God to a seed, the life of the seed there. And it has all that information to create a child of God, to describe and to build and to make a child of God. Think about a sequoia tree. That tree is an enormous tree when it's full grown. I think those branches of a sequoia tree can be 8 foot in diameter. I mean, that's enormous. And some of the bases of those sequoia trees are probably as big as, I think some of them are 30 feet across or 40 feet across. That's probably as big as half of this sanctuary. That's a trunk of a tree. That thing is huge, and it grows to be as tall as a 30-story building. I mean, they're enormous trees. When you find the seed of that thing will, you can hold the seed in the palm of your hand. But in that seed contains all the information to make that tree what it is. In this book contains all the information to make a child of God and to make a child of God what you are to become. You believe in Jesus Christ, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, and then he starts describing the activities of a child of God. It's just like a seed. The Word of God is life, just like its seed is life. Jesus Christ said to Peter, or I should say Peter said to Jesus Christ one time, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." They're yours. Out of your mouth comes life. So the words of God are life. He said, for the word of God is quick. Not only is it life like a seed, but it's life, refreshing life. You ever, I know you guys have done this because it's just a common thing to do. You ever laid on your arm or laid on your leg or sat on your leg for a long enough time where the blood stopped flowing to it and you couldn't feel that limb anymore? I remember I was laying down one night, and I thought I had a roach on my head or something, and I'm just like this. And I start hitting it, and my hand's asleep, but it's like this. And I'm hitting my hand, and I realize, oh, that's my hand. But I can't feel it because I'm laying on it wrong. I've cut off the life to it. You know, the blood's cut off and there's no life in it, and so I can't feel it. You know, it's similar to when the life is cut off from the sinner, and you preach the Word of God, someone's listening to the Word of God, but they're not feeling, there's nothing happening there. There's no conviction, there's no emotion, there's no feeling, and not that emotions are what it is, but there's no conviction to it. Paul describes that, he says, you get to a point where you're past feeling. But when you introduce blood back into that limb, then it starts feeling again. Then it starts getting sensation. Then it can start working again. There's some lively refreshing that comes with the voice of God. Not only is it life like a seed, but it's life like in refreshing, that like the blood flow. It'd be like a blood transfusion, putting life back into a patient. I read this book. I won't read the paragraph to you, but it's this fellow talks about, he's a military doctor, and he went back over to Iraq as a doctor and served, I don't know how many tours, went back over there as a doctor to serve several tours. And he talks about when people start losing blood, complicates problems, and they get complicated real quick when life is being drained out of the body. And he talks about this, the lethal triad, and what that is as the blood leaves the body, the body begins to go into what's it called when it gets cold? It starts to your body starts to lose heat and it starts to get cold, and that makes the blood not be able to clot. And then that makes it more, it's one problem causing another problem. And he said the main thing that happens when you have major wounds like that is you just have to stop the bleeding. I mean, you probably heard that in some kind of medical class or something, I mean, some CPR or whatever, but you have to just stop the bleeding. The point is, the life is being drained out of the body. This is life. And when people get away from this, the life begins to be drained out of the family, begins to be drained out of their personal life, begins to be drained out of their relationships. But you got to get this. This is like a blood transfusion. You start putting the Word of God back in there. They start feeling again, getting conviction. The Bible says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has made me alive." Your word has made me alive. So the first thing Paul says here is the word of God is quick. It means it's life. Second thing he says is the word of God, God has a mighty voice. The word of God, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful. You can go back to the very beginning of the Bible, and God begins to create everything with his voice. He says, let there be light. He says, let there be animals, let there be fish. He begins to create with his voice. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God said, let there be light. There was light. God's voice has creative power. And you see it all around you. You see all the creative power. And then you think of God's creative power on a soul. You know, the Bible says you and I are born again by the word of God. The Bible says this, I'll read this verse to you. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And it has the power to take a sinner, turn him into a saint, has the power to take an old man and make him a new man, an old creature, all things are new. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What is that? That's the power of God's word. It has that power, has that ability to create, not only to create, but to rebirth, save from destruction, to deliver. But some of the sad testimonies are where people don't believe the word of God, and then their lives destroyed because there's no belief. Even when, you know, you read about Jesus Christ, it's amazing some of the things you read when Jesus Christ is walking around and performing miracles and preaching, and you know, he's got some people following him. And then he goes to certain other cities, and the Bible says, and there he could do no great work there. And the reason he couldn't do anything there was because nobody believed him. They didn't show up. They didn't care. They didn't care what he was saying, so it didn't affect him. His words had no effect on them because they wouldn't believe what he was saying. The fact is, the word of God is quick and powerful. The power to change lives. You know, just like we were saying earlier, you know, I personally cannot imagine my life without the Bible. I absolutely cannot imagine what my life would be like without the words of God. I couldn't imagine where I'd be. I can't imagine what I'd be doing. The Bible, the Word of God, is a lifesaver, and it has the power to change a soul. God's words are powerful. They're living, and they're powerful. The last thing is kind of divided up into three parts here. God's words are piercing. Look at what he says here in verse 12, and he makes three illustrations of this. The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of, here's one thing, number one, soul and spirit, number two, joints and marrow, and number three is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's words are piercing. They're divisive in that they can make divisions where you and I couldn't see divisions. He gives you an example here, but soul and spirit. Let's start with that one. Soul and spirit. Some people, from a natural point of view, you can't figure out what a soul is and you can't figure out what a spirit is. You couldn't look at one or the other and say this is that and that is this. You have to have the Word of God to describe those things to you, to tell you what they are. The first division is a spiritual division. And you know there is a difference between a soul and a spirit. All right, a soul is what you are. You are a soul. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You're a soul. You have a spirit. You have a body. But you are a soul. Is what's what you are. The Bible describes a soul. It describes a soul as having eyes and hands and a mouth. It describes a soul in hell in Luke chapter 16. It describes a soul that is encased in a body, so to speak, and it describes what happens to a soul once it gets saved, seated with Jesus Christ, things like that. There's a spiritual division, but the point is the Word of God makes that division, a soul and a spirit, and you can't make that division. There are all kinds of medical, psychological theories about what is this is there even a soul? Is there even a spirit? Is there any of this? What's the difference? I think the same thing, a spirit is a soul. People say things like that, but the point is the Bible makes a distinction. God can make the division there. He knows what is what. You say we're so integrated. I mean, our body, our soul, our spirit, those things are so integrated that sometimes it's impossible to divide the parts naturally or visibly. You think about this. Whatever affects you physically affects you spiritually. Things that affect you physically affect you spiritually. And I'll give you an example. A person, for instance, with a prolonged painful illness. I mean, if you're in pain for a long time, that's going to affect your spirit. That's going to affect your spirit. You may begin to even question God if you're in pain for a long time. That's how it affects. That physical aspect of you is connected to that spiritual aspect of you. The soul is affected. Whatever affects you spiritually will affect you physically. Whatever affects you spiritually will affect you physically. So you guys maybe have been to some churches where And I've seen this at some of the meetings and things like that. Somebody gets excited and they jump up and down. They start clapping or they start hooting and hollering. And I'm all for that. That's cool. That's good. But what happens is the spirit's been affected. Now the body's being affected. The Bible says it this way in another case, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Where something spiritual in you affects your physical well-being. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. What am I saying? I'm saying some of these things are so interconnected, you can't see the difference. You have to have the Word of God to explain the difference to you. There's such an integration of the soul and spirit of man. I think that many deny the existence sometimes of a spirit. But God says those two things are different. There's a soul and a spirit. So the Bible can make a difference. He said dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You think of a sharper knife that can cut through that. Divide asunder of soul and spirit. Do you think of a knife that cuts and divides joints and marrow? That's a physical division. What you read about first is a spiritual division. Then you read about a physical division. And this one requires a blade to separate the two, the joints and the marrow. It's a physical division. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You understand those things. But this last one is a real good one. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that's something to pay attention to. I mean, they're all something to pay attention to, but that's something to pay attention to. There's a difference between you having a thought and you having an intent. Put it this way. Go rob a bank. That's a thought. I'm going to rob a bank. That's an intent. Go to a party. That's a thought. I'm going to go to a party, that's an intent. And there is a difference. And that's why the Lord says it's important that you capture thoughts. And you make sure you know and you have a filter on your mind. He says there's a heart division here. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right, here's an example. Here's another example. Here's a guy that gets a job at the bank. He's a good employee. He shows up on time. He does good work. He gets promoted. He seems to be doing a good job. And one day, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars missing from the bank. And you go to find out, well, it's this guy that worked there. Well, you don't know that until after the fact. You don't know the intents of the heart. Now, he knew his intent getting into this. He knew his intent. Now, and maybe his intent was to just get a job, but maybe he got hooked up with the wrong people. And they said, hey, you got access to this. Who knows? It's just an illustration. The point is, you don't know his intent until after it's done. The Bible identifies intents before they're ever done. He's able to identify a thought versus an intent versus what is your motivation for what you're doing. Why are you here? What are you doing here?
I won't use another one, but you get the point. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. An intention is what you've devised in your heart already to do. It's a direction, it's the goal of your heart. And a thought is just a thought. But you got to filter out those thoughts. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's another thing about the heart. The Bible says, of your heart and of my heart, that it is deceitful and desperately wicked. I'd say sometimes you and I don't even know our motives. I'll give you an example in the Bible. There was a king, or a man who would be king, in the Bible. I think his name was Hazael. Elisha goes to Hazael and anoints him king of Syria. And Elisha begins to cry, and Hazael says, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "Well, because of what you're going to do to my people." And Hazael says, I don't want to do anything to your people." He says, and he's crying, and Elisha says, "No, you're gonna kill my people." And Hazael says, "No, I don't want to do that, at least not then." Well, once Hazael takes the throne, he begins to attack Israel. He begins to destroy Israelites. And what you find out is there was stuff in his heart that he didn't even know about was in his heart. But God's prophet had already identified the intent of the heart. David said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I think God tries the heart, and he reveals the motives and corrects them. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You try to find another book like that can identify thoughts in your heart and then can identify motives in your heart and then point them out to you and then correct those motives. If you'll listen, correct those motives. Here's a crude example, but to make the point. Here's a fella who's going to take a lady out on a date. And he doesn't have good intentions. But he takes her out on a date. He pays for all her food. He makes her laugh and all that stuff. But his intentions are wrong. His intentions are to just have fun. He's not looking for a relationship. The Bible's able to identify those intents of the heart. That's an intent of the heart. That's not just visible on the outside. That's something that's going on the inside. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It divides asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is quite a book. It's quite a book. And, you know, you and I need our motives checked. We need our intents checked. We need the thoughts that go through our mind checked. We need them filtered out. And the Word of God does all that. It is a powerful book. It is a life-giving book. It is a mighty book. God's voice is a mighty, powerful word. And then God's voice is a piercing word, a dividing word. And it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and it points out things that you and I sometimes don't like to be pointed out, but we need them to be pointed out. And we need to allow this book to point them out. You know, sometimes I hear this. I know you guys have heard me say stuff like this before, and you guys have dealt with stuff like this before. But you preach, and somebody will say, you know, well, or get mad, and they'll say, well, I don't like that preacher talking about me. I don't know you. I don't know your life. But this book knows your life. And when this book is preached, it'll get into your life. And it'll identify things in your life that you don't like identified. And that's why you need a preacher. And that's why you need the Word of God. Because you need those things identified. And you need those things corrected. And I need those things identified. And I need them corrected. And this book does it. I can't imagine a life without this book. It is a powerful book. It is a living book. And it is a dividing book. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray this has been helpful. See these things from your words. I pray we could yield ourselves to your words. And we would. I pray we would. I pray that you'd help us. Help us learn of you. Help us, like David said, search us, try us, get these wicked ways out of our hearts. Father, thank you so much for these words, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.